أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتحدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فصير في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد Bridging today's generation gap has been our topic. Tonight is lecture number 5. Alhamdulillah, we have begun our topic now and we've discussed several things up until this date. Two nights ago, we talked about the reason why this gap even occurs and the talk on integration and assimilation. Last night, we did our best to introduce each generation to the other so we could understand how each generation thinks and how they operate. The very first fundamental step in bridging a gap is to identify who you're trying to bridge with. So we talked a little bit about yesterday how our adults view the world. We talked a little bit yesterday how the youth view the world. And when I was going through the speech last night and this morning, I do realize that I was a little bit hammering yesterday on the millennials, and for that I apologize, but they're a strong group, inshallah, they'll forgive me. It's not all negative, nor is it all this idea that they are a bunch of brats, as I like to sometimes call them. There is some beauty and some khair in them, inshallah, we'll go through that today, inshallah. And today we begin the actual ingredients of the gap. As I mentioned in the very first speech, there will be subtopics within this massive topic. And the first thing that we're going to speak about in the next 3 nights is communication. Is communication. When I go across the various homes and doing my counseling, be it couples or be it the entire family, when I look at how the parents are losing control of the kids and how the kids have no respect for the parents, it boils down to a couple of common elements. And one of them is, of course, how each communicates with the other. And this is a huge issue between both the parent and the child. On one side, the parent will always complain that the child is disrespectful in their tone to me, Malana. They don't talk to me like I deserve to be spoken to. On the other side, the youth often complain the parent speaks to me still as if I am a child, even though I am, let's say, in college. And I don't understand their language, I don't understand their indication, I don't understand how they speak to me. So communication becomes a huge element inside all of this. Even when we look at the elders in our community talking to our youth and vice versa, the elders have the exact same complaint. That when we try to speak to the youth, you know, we don't get the same response. Nor do we understand the fact that they are speaking at a level of their generation. We need to somehow figure out how to speak at their level. On the flip side, of course, sometimes I see the youth who complain about the adults that they have this very authoritative tone with me. Like they're telling me what to do. And while that, like I said in Mahorm, if you remember, I talked about the fact that in my generation growing up in Toronto, it was a communal upbringing, right? We had different uncles that would raise you in the center. So if you misbehaved, even though your dad wasn't there, there were sure enough two or three uncles who would for sure discipline you, right? There's always two or three uncles that would for sure grab you by the collar and say, look, sit down or stop talking. Nowadays, you can't do that. It's either your father or your mother or nobody else. Right? So when somebody comes along and tries to show some authority with you, as a youth of today, you reject that. And you totally tune them out. It all boils down to communication. And alhamdulillah, we are blessed that in the deen of Islam, there is no subject that has not been presented by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I present the content, it's important for all you to understand that sometimes we underestimate the beauty and the depth of the Qur'an. We've taken it as a book of ahkam, rules of ghusl and wudu and salat. We've taken it, let's say, as some historic background, spiritual book, some scripture, old scripture on the shelf that's collecting dust. The reality is that you'll be shocked and surprised to find out what is inside this glorious book. And perhaps this month, like no other, is a prime time for us to reconnect with the glorious Qur'an. Besides tilawat and reading it, actually pick up the verses. Ponder on the verses. Ask the ulama, what does this verse refer to? They can go through tafsir and actually go through what that actual verse means. One of the things the Qur'an has laid out very beautifully are models of communication inside Islam. It presents to you multiple models of communication. Exactly what we're looking for. In fact, in today's discussion, we'll present four different models, all Quranic based, on how to communicate with each other. Be it husband and wife, be it father and child, be it elder and youth, doesn't matter. There are four different ways of communicating. We'll present each one by one and break it down, inshallah, together. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I ask you, don't underestimate the power of the Quran. A lot of you, a lot of us are searching for solutions, some light in the darkness, some sort of salvation, and we underestimate sometimes in our very homes, on our shelves, that salvation is calling out to us. 10 verses, 5 verses a day, if not a juz in this month, can really change someone's life with meaning, with transition, inshallah. The very first model of communication is called qawlan kareema. Speaking words of generosity. And this reference comes in Surah Al-Isra, ayat number 23, the very famous verse that teaches us as children how to speak to our parents. The famous Uff verse that all of you have heard many, many times. Where Allah says, وَقَذَا رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِوَالَدِينَ أَحْسَانًا. Allah has laid down the hukum to do, you are not to worship anybody but me, and you are to be good to your parents. It goes on to say that when one of them or both of them reach old age, فَلَا تَقُوا لَهُمَا أُفٍ. You are not to say uff to them. You are not to say uff to them. Interesting point that I've made to you guys before. If you look at the translation of uffin, they actually use a transliteration of the actual Arabic word. So you'll see UFF, meaning that up until now, there is no English word to be translated by uff. And it goes to the beautiful hadith by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, that Murad Sahib has already mentioned, alhamdulillah, is the fact that if there was, he says, if there was a word that was smaller than uff in the Arabic language for this verse, Allah would have used that word. Alif and fa is a two-letter word. And there is no English translation for that. So uff, literally sometimes in their efforts, in their attempts to translate what uff means, Mufassirin have went all the way to an annoying sigh sometimes. A rolling of the eyes, the stopping of the stairs, the slamming of doors. All these things are uff, forget the actual words. And then the final portion of this verse from Surah Isra says, وَقُولْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. When you speak to them with generous words, filling words, loving words. Okay? It's very unfortunate sometimes when I see publicly in front of people like me how today's generation sometimes, not everybody of course, speak to their parents. You know, gone are the days of course where, you know, and these are all huquq of your parents. Gone are the days of course where you would never sit before your father would sit. You would never walk ahead of your father. You would never sit if he's standing. You would never begin iftar unless you saw to make sure on the table, on the sakhan, that he had his first bite. Now the way that our parents, our kids speak to the parents, in public, I have no idea what happens inside the homes. If in the public, in the parking lot, in the dining hall, itni himmat hai, at home, I could only imagine. If someone like me who's standing there and this child is saying, okay dad, rolls his eyes, or God returns his back towards him, and the parent looks at me almost like embarrassed, saying, kya kare malana? Aaj ka zamana hai. What do we do, malana? And he just resigns to the fact that at least my child is talking to me. Forget how he's talking to me. And he's completely forfeited his rights altogether. And the reality is, and all of you know this as a reminder, and now some of you, mashallah, are parents yourself. And you'll get that attitude back to you. That sometimes in hadith, a very clear-cut equation. There probably is no faster route to the pleasure of Allah than through the pleasure of your parents. It's impossible, Allah has said very mutlaqan clearly, that if you wish to reach my ridayat and me to be razi with you, meaning Allah be razi with you, then you have to make sure that your parents are also razi with you as well. And it starts off with verbal. At least express your respect to them. Under no circumstances does Islam give you any sort of ijazah or permission to ever raise your voice. Yes, there's a portion where you don't need to listen to them if they're saying don't pray salat or don't fast when it's wajib or don't wear hijab. That's a shari'i issue. But even then, when you sit there and you don't listen to them, even that is with respect. Hadith says, even if your parents are the mushrikeen, deniers of Allah, can you imagine? You don't have ijazah to raise your voice against your parents. Forget those who, mashallah, are the mu'mineen who are trying to bring their kids towards the path. Sometimes the way I see it, the child is being called by the parent. And with the utmost respect, he shoos his father away. And the entire community is watching. And somehow or another, for some reason, he actually believes that, you know what, Malam, I'm not getting anywhere in terms of my spirituality towards Allah. You're not going to get anywhere unless you fix your tone with your parents. It's a very simple idea. If you want to speak to your parents, qawlan karima. Speak to them with generosity. Speak to them with beautiful words. Speak to them with loving words. Even if they are sit there and screaming at you and yelling at you and disrespecting you and calling you out and comparing you to everybody else, there is no ijazah for you to ever respond with anything less than uff. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I don't want to see that here. I don't want to see that here. I know some of you are working very hard to build yourself towards Allah. May Allah bless you on this path. But you cannot achieve any closeness to Allah unless your parents are willing to be accepted by you. And yes, there are many parents who are very forgiving. And sometimes us as kids, we take advantage of that forgiveness and that mercy. You know, so I ask you, if you're blessed to have both your parents alive, then please, make it a point to see it as an opportunity to do khidmat for your parents, to gain closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I lost my father 15 years ago. And I look back to all those times where I was also equally guilty of uff this and uff that and uff this and uff that, and I wish I could take that away, and I can't anymore. I cannot make it up to him anymore. So if you have that opportunity where your parents, alhamdulillah, are still alive, may Allah give you guys a long life, inshallah. That opportunity, please, at least with your tone and your voice, at least in the community, guys, where people are watching you, to not disrespect your parents. To come and make sure, Baba, do you have your iftar? Baba, do you have your kujur? Baba, I know you like tea, do you have your tea? It sends a beautiful message, and there's pride. With pride from the parents comes dua from the parents. We are nothing unless our parents pray for us. And if God forbid our parents do baddua on us, may Allah protect us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The first mode of communication, qawlan karima. Number two, qawlan sadida. Qawlan sadida. Surah Al-Ahzab, ayat number 70. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. A clear, direct form of communication. No between the lines, no behind, no beating around the bush, no room for interpretation, no room for confusion. What did he mean? What did she mean? I have no idea. No one's going to read your mind. Right? Everything has to be direct. We're dealing with a generation of these millennials who are instant and direct communicators. And they want a yes or no answer. Dad, can I go to my friends to hang out? It's Friday night. Well, son, MashaAllah, you're a young man now. You can do whatever you want. If I were you, I wouldn't go. But you can do whatever you want. What that child hears is, whoa, dad gave me a choice. Because you know what, guys? I'm in. I'm down. I'll reach. I'll be there. And you leave the front door on Friday night. And your father turns to you and says, I can't believe he went. When I told him specifically not to go. And the mom says, you didn't say that. You gave him a choice. He should be able to understand when I say, if it was me, to not go. No, be direct. Baba, don't go tonight. Qawlan sadida. What's interesting is that this verse from Surah Al-Ahzab is a recommended verse in the siga before the nikah khutbah, before the nikah. That between husband and wife, a direct and absolute communication. Our biggest problem with our wives is that we're not mind readers. And sometimes she has a problem being direct with us. And we are nails, we need direct communication. We can't read her mind. When she sees, when she says nothing is wrong, we actually believe that nothing is wrong, so we move on with our day. But when she says nothing is wrong, that's a call for no, keep asking me, until I tell you what's wrong. Baba, just be direct. On top of that, this verse also talks about those individuals who takes a story, relates it to others, and adds their own mirchi and masala to it. Their own ingredients to it. Right? When someone says, oh, what happened at Bit? I heard there was some issue at Bit. Oh, come, let me tell you. So they'll tell you the actual facts, then they'll add a little bit of masala, tandoori masala, some rice, some haldi, and then they'll give it to you. Right? It's not qawlan sadida. Direct talk. Whatever happened, directly talk to them. This is a sign of those, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha wa qawlan sadida. Talk in a very direct tone. So the second mode is qawlan sadida. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The third model is qawlan layyina. Qawlan layyina. We talked about this on Saturday at the family night. Surah Taha, ayat number 44. When Nabi Musa is being constructed or instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go talk to Fir'aun, to talk about Allah, he commands Nabi Musa to talk to Fir'aun, وَقَوْلَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to him, but with a soft tongue. A naram lahja. Speak to Fir'aun with a soft tongue. Not because Fir'aun deserves it. Because it's not becoming of the Prophet of Allah to speak with another tone, but the soft tone. It's not becoming of the Prophet of Allah. Meaning what Allah is saying by this mode is that there is something that's special and khas about you that's not like anybody else. If you adopt the same tone as a person in front of you, there's nothing special about you. What I require from you, even if it's in front of my biggest enemy, is that you don't lower yourself to that level. You speak, but you speak with a soft tone. You maintain your akhlaq. You maintain your dignity. You maintain your respect. You are وَلَقَدْ كَرَمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. You are an honorable human being by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you let loose this tongue of yours, then at that moment then you've thrown out this entire idea of karamat and elevation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times what we do is that we become, and I've said this many times to all of you, we become a reflection of the person in front of me. If the person in front of me comes meaty, meaty bate, very beautiful, soft tongue, our ledger also is meaty, meaty, beautiful and soft. If the person comes to us and fire is coming out of their mouth, oh, I'll show you fire. And more fire comes out of my mouth. If jahalat is spewed towards me, I become the most jahil. If an alim comes from me, I become the most alim. I am nothing but a reflection of the person in front of me. The Ahlul Bayt didn't do that. The Ahlul Bayt had their set of akhlaq, their set of tones, their set of tongue. And wherever they weren't a reflection of the person in front of them. They were their own reflection. The person could be spewing jahalat, they would never spew nothing but ilm in front of them. The person could be spewing fire, they would be the water to take out that fire. We don't need to always lower ourselves or elevate ourselves based on the person in front of us. This verse from Surah Taha has a very simple message to us. Communicate, maintain your own naram lahja. How many times have I seen arguments where one person is, you know, screaming at the top of his lungs and the other person is calm and cool and collected. And after a while, it's the one who's screaming and yelling that becomes foolish. Now yes, you'll ask me that at what moment am I a doormat? At what moment am I somebody who has self-respect? I'm saying that you maintain your soft tongue. Why? Because you are something that is greater than what you think you are. You are somebody that's honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are simply a reflection of the person in front of you, then of course you are nothing but what the person in front of you is. قَوْلَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيَّنَا. Of all people to Fir'aun who deserves a good tongue lashing, Allah says no. You're my Nabi, you're an Ulul Azam Prophet Musa. You are not to lower yourself to that level. If you claim the person in front of you who you're arguing with is filled with ignorance and needs guidance, then show him that guidance with your tongue. Sometimes, you know, when I go counsel husband and wife, and sometimes in front of me they argue. And it's really upsetting sometimes to see not only is there an increase in volume, but the language being used. The obscene language being used. The insults being thrown like it's every day. And it requires one of them, either husband or the wife, to adopt that qawlan layyana, that soft tongue, to be that water for the fire right now around them. But that's why it's so important that when that height of anger is there inside of you, that ghazab is there, it's the aql and the intellect that comes and softens that anger. That's why our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talks about the fact that the strongest amongst you, to his companions, the strongest among you is the one who's hakim over his aql inda al-ghazab, at the prime moment of anger. He has the absolute control over what he does. With all due respect to myself and all of you, animals get angry, they react, and then they calm down. But we're not instinctive human beings. We're aqil human beings. Allah no doubt gave us anger, gave us a tongue. I mentioned on Saturday night, this tongue can be a tool to bridge or break. This tongue can be a tool to mend hearts or break hearts. This tongue can be used to break apart communities. Sometimes it takes one conversation, one argument with somebody in one community, and we'll never see that brother again. Sometimes it takes one argument from one cousin to another cousin, and they won't come to another family function. That's the power of destruction or construction of this tongue. 35 plus sins from this tongue alone. I mentioned on Saturday, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person's wisdom lies behind his tongue. I mean, at first he goes and he consults with the aql, that Mr. Aql, can I say these words or not? He says, yes, say them, but say them properly. And then the tongue expresses. The foolish one is the one who what? Resides ahead of his tongue. He says it and then goes around putting out fires. I talked about that on Saturday. That you become an abd of the words that you say. In that anger, at that height of anger, you say all sorts of things to your son, or to your parents, or to your spouse. You can do your best days later to give her roses and chocolates and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And she'll forgive you, they'll forgive you. But those words don't quite leave them. And every so often, when things aren't right, they'll remind you of the words you said years ago. Many of my youth today that are riddled in addiction, in drug addiction, in cigarette addiction, and gambling addiction, are riddled because they feel they have no self-worth. Their self-worth is down to zero. So if it's zero, then there's no point in me trying to be good. Let's make this dunya my heaven. Let's become a drug addict. Let's become a casino girl. Let's become an alcoholic. What's the point? I'm going to get mine in the hereafter anyways. I might as well live my life here. And that self-worth comes sometimes from the words spoken to them by the tongue of their parents. That you're no good. That why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your first cousin? You know, why? I wish I never had you. I wish I never had you. Can you imagine a child, 15, 16, battling this world right now at the prime of the 16, and his father says, you know what? You're useless. There's nothing good about you. You can't even hold a ladder straight. And now this kid, somehow, you want him to come towards Allah. No, he's broken at that moment. Yeah, Mulana, that's how we talk. That's how our parents talk. It doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. We have to adjust ourselves. You chose to integrate and migrate here. It comes with a huge adjustment. Part of that is how you address your child. Yes, you're dealing with a very sensitive generation who will only remember the tone by which you said what you said, not the words. Right? The message is very beautiful. Work hard, study hard, be better. I want what's best for my child, Mulana. No doubt you do. But he didn't hear any of that. All he heard were the filling words where you called him useless and worthless and horrible and a loser and a failure. That's all he heard. And you said it so loud that everyone in the house heard, from the siblings to the nanny to the wife to the mother. Everybody heard it. And now somehow you expect this to happen. Doesn't work that. قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. At all times, we are to adopt that soft tongue. If Fir'aun of all people, is being approached and the hukum is for Fir'aun, a soft tongue, then your child is not Fir'aun, right? Your father is not Fir'aun. So we have to adopt the tongue. This tongue can mend hearts, believe me. It takes one phone call sometimes to bring a brother back to the family. It takes one phone call to bring a brother back to the community. It takes one phone call to make that sauce ball ishrim so strong. It takes one phone call with the tongue. But that same tongue, like I said, for years and years, a lifetime of which. You know, those who verbally abuse their kids, if you date their life back, those who were abused tend to abuse their child as well. It never leaves. It never leaves. So yes, it's a matter of us stopping and thinking, do I want to express these words or not? And yes, there is a control idea. So we have anger management classes in the deen that we conduct sometimes with older uncles that have come forward. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them. So look, Mawlana, you're the age of my son, but I need your help. So can you please help me manage my anger? I've lost my kids now. After a while, all they hear is the tone, and they don't hear any message. That's why when you look at the idea of tarbiyat al-awlad, tarbiyat is a very beautiful but a very complex subject. You see, one of the best ways to discipline your child is not to raise your voice. That's easy. It's to separate a little bit from your child and lessen the love a little bit from your child to make him realize that what you did was not accurate. Imagine you have a 9, 10-year-old. And I ask you, those of you who are parents who have this age of children at home, or even 12, 13 years old, you know, the event happened, he messed up, you got angry, everything died down. The last question that the child will ask the parent is what? The Baba, Amma, are you still mad at me? Are you still upset at me? I mean, that idea that is that love still there or not is what's more important than fine. Baba's not angry anymore, but is he still talking the same way he was talking before? For me, what was the most effective for my father was the silent treatment. Oh, that was deadly. I'd rather him yell at me than be silent. Because silent meant disappointment. That meant that love for me had dropped a little bit in his eyes. So these are things to think about. If Allah is commanding His Nabi, قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, go to Fir'aun and use a soft tongue, it's only because it's not becoming of someone as great as the Prophet of Allah to lower his tongue to anything but beautiful and soft. It's not becoming of all of you either. You are a beautiful creation of Allah. You are a Shia mu'min of Imam Ali. You belong on the path of the Ahlul Bayt. How many stories have we heard since we were a child about somebody coming and spewing garbage at the Ahlul Bayt to their face? And they won their hearts over by not reacting to that anger. By having a qawlan layyana. And the moment that that qawlan layyana came out of Imam Mustafa's tongue, or Imam Ali's tongue, or Imam Saliq's tongue, then right away that person melted, fell to their feet, and said, you know what, if anyone is worthy of being the hujjat of Allah, it's you on this earth. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So three modes of communication, qawlan karima, qawlan sadida, qawlan layyana. Number four, and the last one, qawlan baligha. قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا Surah Nisa, ayat number 63. Talks about the munafiqeen. Look at the way Allah addresses the munafiqeen, those who are the hypocrites inside their hearts. The ayat starts off by saying Allah knows what's inside their hearts. You don't need to sit there and prove to people that they're a hypocrite. Be very careful of them, but remind them and talk to them how? وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا Baligha means a penetrating communication. From balagha, from tabligh. One that's inspiring, insightful. Meaning what? Speak to the munafiq, but speak to them with logic. And hit their heart when it comes to deen. Maybe they might come towards the deen. A lot of my parents today, they try to convince their child that the deen of Islam is the right path. It's a beautiful idea. But you have to be careful in how you approach it. How many fathers have come to me in all communities that I go to, not just here? They drive their, you know, their 14-year-old to me, okay? And the 14-year-old standing with his head down, and the father says, you know, Mulana, tell him to pray namaz, please. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says, tell him not to please pray namaz. He doesn't pray namaz. He has to. He prays so quickly. He doesn't. And right now, this kid is just right now in front of me, is crumbling in front of me, turning as red as possible. And somehow this father believes that these are words that will be accepted by this child. That yes, because dad, you embarrassed me in front of a sheikh of all people, a sayyid of all people, a mulana of all people that I actually like, and now you've embarrassed me. Now for some, oh yes, that's going to work. Tomorrow I'm going to go for namaz. In fact, he's going to have more nafar towards you and the deen than before. That's not qawlan baligha. Speak about the beauty of salat, the elevation of salat. Talk about penetrating, insightful words that hit the heart. Be equipped with that. Even when we call people towards those individuals who may not have the same fikr as us, within the same Shia madhab, think about those people who might think of the deen different from us. Their take of azadari is not the same as us. Their take on wilayat is not the same as us. Their take on, let's say, culture and deen is not the same as us. And when we speak to them, we just want to convince them how wrong they are and how right I am. That's not qawlan baligha. Qawlan baligha is you speak to a hypocrite of all people, but you speak to them with words that might make them think at night when they're at home and their head's on their pillow and they're tossing and turning. It's your words that will echo in their mind, that maybe with your words, they might come towards the light. If you have a difference of opinion, even with your child, when he begins to question the culture that you are trying to uphold in this part of the world, right? Cultural acts that happen in the month of Muharram. Cultural acts that happen in the month of Ramadan. These things that happen every Shabbat Jummah that you have in your respective homes. And a child with a lot of courage comes, says, Baba, why are we doing this? Why do we wear this? Why do we say this? Why do I have to cover my head? Why can't I use this plate to eat this food, for example? Why must I be in wudu, for example, in this room? Why can't my sister be in the same room as me right now? All these are great questions. It is a sincere effort of a child to try to understand your culture. But we take that as a child who, angrez ho gaya, he became white. Right? And you turn to your wife and say, Dekha, we should have never left India, Pakistan. These kids don't ask back home. Right? Just do it, and your mom says, just read Fatiha and go. Go upstairs. Leave your dad alone. That's not qawlan baligha. Sit down and try to reach their hearts. They're reaching out to you, saying, Mom, Dad, I want to understand your culture. We'll talk about identity later on this week. They don't adopt, they don't connect to your culture. They want to understand your culture. Qawlan baligha is that words that are insightful, that penetrate, thought-provoking, that make a person think, yeah, you know what, that makes sense to me. Someone comes to you who's a Sunni, let's say, and says, why do you believe in Imam Ali? What is Ghadir all about? At that moment, prime time for you to give them what? Qawlan baligha. Someone comes to you and has a different ideology of what the Islamic government is all about. At that moment, don't label them as Muqassir or Jahannami. Or good luck in your grave. No. Qawlan baligha. Let's talk. Think about this. What about this? Qawlan layyana with qawlan baligha. Together we can call people towards our path. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I want you to adopt, all of us, adopt one of these, if not all four of these, inside of our homes. The biggest problem we have with our families is there is no form of communication. It's a bare minimum communication. Very few families do I see where the parents are invested in the child's path. Very few families where I see where the child actually goes and trusts the parent to say, yeah, this is what I want to do, this is where I'm headed. Qawlan karima, qawlan sadida, qawlan layyana, qawlan baligha. Assalamu sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. These are communication models set by the Qur'an. There's many more, by the way, not just four. It's just going to have no time, there's only four. There's many more in the Qur'an. The beauty of the Qur'an is just that. It presents a lifestyle, a path to follow. To understand that this tongue of ours, how we communicate with our body, over text, everything is there. It's not just about tongue. I ask those of you who like to email the community things and post on WhatsApp groups and share videos. Stop and think, one of these four, what is my purpose? When I want to disagree with a mu'min on a WhatsApp group, stop and think, what is my model of communication? Right? We have to learn how to have a respect of a difference of opinion. We don't have that respect, with all due respect. It's my way or the highway. It's either I'm right or you're right. We can't be both be accurate. No, it might be a different way of understanding the exact same concept. You sit down, you understand where they're coming from, you present your side, and maybe that ikhtilaf might turn into an increase in wisdom, an increase in ilm. And eventually you get to a point, fine, we will learn to disagree. I will learn to respect that your opinion is not mine, and that's fine. It doesn't mean that you're dead to me. It doesn't mean that you're jahannami. It doesn't mean that you're blocked. It doesn't mean that you're removed from my group. But please, let's be careful of our tone with our children, with our spouse, with our parents, with our fellow community members when it comes to things like WhatsApp and like emails. Some of us, we write emails, we don't even stop to think, should I send this? Because nowadays, snapshots and screenshots are sent worldwide. Within 2 seconds, it goes from here to India to Iraq back here again. Within 2 seconds. I said that, but I was angry. Now you're going around putting out all your fires. Right? Qawlan karima, be generous. Qawlan sadida, be direct, but with akhlaq. Qawlan layina, be soft. Qawlan baligha, be insightful in your words. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are now approaching the first week of the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Time is really flying by. We ask you, Allah, accept our amal and forgive our sins, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strengthen our homes and to bridge this gap between our youth and our elders, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us isqabil of the zuhur of Imam al-Zamana, inshallah, and make us his ansar when he comes. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.